rifle attack. Remembers the brief conversation.
What are you going to do with the rifle? And the reply was, I go shooting with my friends on the weekends. I just want my own stuff.
Sunrise Tactical Supply owner Michael Morrison says he saw no red flags to stop the February 2017 sale. Broward's chief medical examiner also testified about autopsy photos showing the injuries suffered by three of the victims. A local Republican Party in Kentucky is censuring Senator Mitch McConnell. The decision reached last week was announced today and cites the Senate Minority Leader's support for the recently passed bipartisan gun bill. Party officials in Jessamine County, just south of Lexington, say the bill McConnell helped pass violates the U.S. Constitution's 2nd, 4th, and 14th Amendments. They're calling for his resignation as Senate Republican leader and say they'll cease any and all support of him. Tony Dow of Leave It to Beaver fame is dead. His death was announced on his Facebook page by his management team. Dow played Wally Cleaver on the show. He had other credits to his name, including Murder, She Wrote and The Love Boat. Tony Dow was 77 years old. Ashton Kutcher is spilling some details on an upcoming spinoff to That 70s Show. Both Kutcher and his wife, Mila Kunis, reprise their roles for That 90s Show, which will follow the daughter of Eric and Donna as she visits her grandparents in the summer of 1995. Kutcher described returning to the set more than 15 years after the original series ended as random and fun. Kutcher has also called the new cast phenomenal. A release date for That 90s Show has yet to be announced. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I'll second guess dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon's pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall. If you're allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints, call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Lift your spirits with us every Friday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 1150 a.m. KKNW Seattle. We will be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities are guaranteed to lift your spirits. Miss a show? No worries. You can visit 1150kknw.com and click on our archive page or like Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie on Facebook for upcoming guests and events. To contact me, Dina Marie, visit dina-marie.com. Thank you so much for listening.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, I had a little sanity check, Benny, Micah, this weekend, in a lot of ways, just so many different ways. And, you know, part of that was to have this realization, and I don't know how to put this in any other way, but I know my very special guest today is going to talk about what it means, unlock your psychic and spiritual powers with Richard Lawrence. Because this is somebody that doesn't just know this, but shares how we can do it. You know, he is somebody that has been out in the world, courageously, and I might say that courageously, because when you're someone like he is, you're out in the world, you know, sharing different forms of psychic experiences, clairvoyance, clairaudience, out in the world, smell, taste, all of it. But we're going to talk today about this idea of psychic ability. But the aha moment I had was this moment where I was reflecting upon where I am today in the world, how important it is to stay in the present moment, yet it's equally important to have a vision. And I think we get confused. I think there has been a lot of literature and things that have come out in what is known as the New Thought community, which I now call the Now Thought community. And the reason that I talk about it like this is because we need to clarify for people what it is that we have inside of us that we are just not using to our ability. We are not using it. And yet we are. Because if you ask a mom why she decided to go left instead of right with her 2-year-old infant in the car seat, and she can't explain why she made that turn, except for the fact there was something she knew. Had she gone the other way, she would have smacked right into a car accident, right? But she can't explain it. She would just say something like, I knew. But today, when you take a look at what Richard has created, and he lives his life like this, I'm thinking to myself now, I played ping pong over the weekend. I'd have rather been with him where he was, in a sense, because this is someone that is not just somebody that has been in this world about mind-body-spirit movement in the UK for decades, but he has been surrounded by incredible people. His late mentor, which he's been on the show and talked about, oh my gosh, Dr. George King, just amazing. I mean, if you knew anything about Dr. George King, we've done shows on this. But when I think about Richard and what he's done and now what he's doing, he's literally breaking through now for all of us. We're looking at some of the things he's done before, but the message for our time is it is time to unlock our psychic powers. It's time to unlock our psychic abilities. Richard, it's great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Gosh, that was a fantastic few words. Thanks, so kind of you, and I much appreciate being on the show. I'm sure I could give a much longer talk about you, Dr. Pat.
But I want to start out with a true confession, and then I want you to jump in.
Okay.
When I trust what has guided me in my life for so many years, when I trust it, despite what things may look like on paper, despite the logic, despite any medical reports, despite those things that the mind gets a hold of and it really wants us to buy into, despite all of that, when I look back, and I did this over the weekend, I had a moment to reflect. And I realized that anything that was positive, that directed me to my next step, I did fearlessly from an early age till about 2000. And then something changed for me. But that's what we want to talk about today, because we want to talk about this innate ability, and it happens to be called psychic. And here's the question. Do you have to be somebody like you, or do you have to be somebody, you know, that is so out there in the world and has done this for years? Or is this an ability that we all have, Richard?
Well, that's the very reason I wrote my first book, actually, which is still my best-selling book. I mean, that's 40
yes, it
years
is.
Ago that was published, Unlock Your Psychic Powers. Next year, actually, would be the 40th anniversary of that. But the reason I did was because I was doing a lot of radio shows in Britain and late-night phone-ins and sometimes four-hour shows and all sorts of things. And we were getting callers in, something you know very, very well. And they were not from practicing, well, we had some practicing psychics, but many of them, most of them, I'd say, were from so-called ordinary people, people who wouldn't call themselves psychic, wouldn't call themselves clairvoyant, certainly wouldn't call themselves practitioners of any kind whatsoever. And yet, were having the type of experience you, that was a great example you gave, somebody driving down the road, they took the left turn, if they turned right, they'd have possibly died. One of the calls I had was a paratrooper who was on an airplane, and he was about to jump in his parachute, and he did it all the time. He was very experienced, and he heard a voice. It seemed to him to be a physical voice. I don't know whether it was. Sometimes you kind of, it can be mental, and it's just as kind of, the sound is as strong as a physical voice, but it's not physical. But anyway, he said, do not jump.
Right.
And he didn't jump. And next thing was, check your parachute. And this was just, this is a paratrooper. This isn't someone who's sitting down with a crystal ball every night or, you know,
right.
he was a tough guy out there. And he heard this. So he checked his parachute and it was wrongly packed and would have almost certainly died. And he just phoned into this radio station. Now, this is just an anecdote. You know, I didn't check into it. I take his word for it. But his question was, what was that voice? Was that a guardian angel? Was it me? Was it my own intuition? What was it? And actually, that question I couldn't answer because it could be either. And in some ways, it doesn't matter, because he didn't jump and his life continued. So one would have to sort of sit down with him and one could probably find out. But it does illustrate the two things. One, your intuition, which is perfect. This is the thing I always say to people. Your intuition is never wrong. We can get it wrong. We can think it's our intuition, but it's really our imagination.
Yeah.
But that happens a lot. That's even happened to some of the best known, I mean, I hear that Doreen Virtue has now come out and said she, you know, she should never have done it and all that. Doesn't actually surprise me a lot, but she's now born again Christian or whatever. So you can get even very celebrated, well-known, and she was as big as it gets at one time in terms of publicity, people who aren't getting it right. And she, I'm only saying that because she's saying that. But at the same time, you if you can tap into your intuition, and you can, and that's the good news, everybody can, your intuition will never be wrong. Psychic powers are something else. Psychic powers are slightly different from intuition, the way I'm using the word. Your intuition, you might say, is your connection with your, well, the yogis would say your divine self, or if you like, your real self, your higher self, whatever phrase you want to use, the all-knowing part, which is within us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just a fantastic thing that within us is all knowledge? It's just us tapping it. That's never wrong. Psychic abilities are something else. They can be used rightly. They can be used and have been used wrongly. I've come across that, and sometimes in a tragic way. I met a chap once, just to give one example of that, who was a hospital porter, and he was also a palmist, and he was reading... A patient asked him to read their palm. So he looked at their palm and he said, look, you've tried to do something twice and you failed, but you're going to try again a third time and this time it will succeed. And the person said, okay, that was that. And he didn't know much more. And then that was a patient in this hospital and they committed suicide. It's a very sad story.
Yeah.
And they tried twice before and failed. And this is the third time and they succeeded. Now, the question is, this is, I only use this because it's a real case. And he came to me for help. He said, should I give up? Should I, you know, I mean, and, but what it is there is the bridge between your psychic abilities. Psychically, he was correct. But I think if he'd gone deeper and he'd contacted the intuition, and that's why there is this great, as an interrelationship between counseling, which you know all about, and psychic ability. That you could be accurate psychically and really not helpful. And in this is an example of it. But if he tapped into his intuition, he'd gone deeper, he would have felt a warning. He would have felt, And he's been careful what he said as well. And so that's why the intuition is priceless, whereas psychic abilities, I mean, some people try to use them to gain power over others and all the rest of it, can be wrongly used. They can be used, though, and you mentioned some of the abilities you can have, touch, taste, all the senses actually have a psychic aspect. They can really help people too, and that's the thing about them.
I love that we're talking about this way because, you know, there are a couple of things that I'm really acutely aware of, and we're going to talk about what are the different psychic abilities because they do show up differently.
Yeah.
And you can get more than one. But I had a little moment. May I reflect on something you said?
Please.
I had a little moment when Doreen came out with her book. I think it's called Deceive No More.
Okay.
And I started to look at it, and I started to read what she was saying, and I didn't understand. So help me out with my naivete. Help me out with my ignorance for a minute. Because I understood this, but I didn't understand it. Because, see, I grew up Catholic, and I've studied many religions. I've been part of many organizations because I'm considered a spiritual hitchhiker. That's what they call me. I'm actually a street smart spiritualist because I like
that
to take
it. I can believe.
But here's where I got confused about this, because there's a part of this that doesn't really support what happens when you see how these abilities show up in people's lives. Now, here's what I want to say about it, because I think this is a confusion. I grew up in a family with an interesting background. You know, at a very young age, I had a conversation with Jesus, and he told me my mother was with him, and lo and behold, being yanked down to Mother Superior to find out my mom was with him because she was dead.
Hmm.
At a very young age, I mean, I'm 6 years old. And so that you cannot undo that, right?
No, no.
But the confusion that happened to me as life went on, and I had a great stepmom who believed in psychic abilities, who was also a Southern Baptist. And if you ever talk to today's world of people that are preaching, either being reborn, Joel Osteen is a perfect example, because this is somebody that will come out and talk about the fact all of us have the ability to manifest. So it gets confusing to people, especially when you're looking at conversations that say, you can't be this and this. And I didn't understand this about what Doreen was saying, because even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are psychics. Daniel was, right? So we confuse this
a lot, people don't
recognize, Richard, right? So this is really why we have to talk about this, because if you get caught up in some of the language, you will shut your ability down, I think. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I only, as it were, met Doreen Virtue once, and that was on a radio show. I think she wasn't in the same room as me. I think she was in America or something.
Yeah.
And so I don't know her. I wouldn't judge, but I would say there are two possibilities. One is, well, I suppose there are three. One is that she was deliberately deceiving people. Another is that she really believed it at the time. And,
I met her.
Okay, well, you knew her then.
I met her.
And for all I can tell, she seemed quite sincere about it. Doesn't mean she was right about it, of course. And it's even possible that a lot of what she got was true, and that she's kind of, as it were, fallen off the path. She thinks she's fallen onto the path, but actually she's fallen off the path. So I wouldn't judge all those possibilities. What I would say, though, is that if she had really tapped her intuition, as opposed to her psychic ability or even channeling ability, mediumship, if you like, she would know. It wouldn't be, just a feeling. It wouldn't be an impression or even just a vision. There'd be a part of her that would know, and she wouldn't really be able to go back, especially into something so limiting.
Yeah.
What I don't know, but I'm led to believe she's got into now. So,
this is really why I brought it up. I didn't know we were going to talk about, you know, Doreen, but she's like so many.
She's just an example, really.
She's an example of so many. However, I also understand some of these spiritual messages. And I mentioned Joel Osteen for one. Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, there are others. But when these people talk about God and talk about Jesus and talk about the power, they also say it is in you too. And so this is the thing for me, that the message I want to bring out there today with you and your book. And first of all, that your book, a bestseller, and there's a reason it is. It's because what you're introducing people to and introducing us to is to step in a world of possibility. And the reason I say that is all you have to do is look at the table of contents of that book, right? And when you look at the table of contents of the book, you're immediately like, wait a minute, I have to understand all these, because in the world we live in, and let's talk about this, in the world we live in, we talk about the other side. We're enamored by it. We talk about the inner self, and we are absolutely curious about it. We talk about intuition. Oh, my God, you're so lucky at the racetrack. We're talking now about the science of the divine. We're talking about ESP, mysteries of the mind, all these things, all these chapters in your book, especially Signs of Destiny. We're talking about them, but you're bringing them to light to say to people, yes, we can talk about them. And by the way, you can do them.
Well, true. I mean, I was very lucky, as you know, we've talked about this before, because I was, you know, had the personal friendship as well as the guidance of Dr. George King. Now,
oh my goodness.
He was, I mean, I did another show not very long ago from on another channel, but the person is like enormous in the paranormal field. And he had to admit that Dr. King was way ahead of his time. And he was far out. I mean, anyone would call it far out, claiming contacts with planets in this solar system, you know, which as far as people think can't be inhabited and so on. Of course, they can and they are, but people couldn't see that. So it was far out stuff. And yet, and this is one of the lessons to me, A, he was a very humble person. B, he had his feet firmly on the ground. He had a great sense of humor. He was extremely grounded. And he welcomed logical analysis. He wasn't sort of, oh, I've got a feeling, so that's that. You know, he had a feeling, and sometimes he didn't know, and he would say, I don't really know why at the moment. And sometimes he did know why, but sometimes he kind of knew what to do, but he welcomed analysis. He wanted, and I was in many, sat in many meetings and discussions with him about various projects, and we were looking at it very rationally, not just calling on psychic abilities. So it was that combination which was a great background to me. And I thought then I was coming across, you know, there was this movement where you either had a gift or you didn't, even in the healing movement, actually.
Yeah.
Which he changed. He wrote a book called You Too Can Heal in
yeah.
Britain and it's worldwide. But it was very, very controversial in the movement at the time, because healers thought, you know, you've either got a gift or you haven't. And then you had something which you've kind of touched on there, that people were having contacts with Jesus, or very often, say, the Virgin Mary, or perhaps another particular Count Saint Germain, or some in particular intelligence. And they were getting messages, and they were quite personal sometimes, their messages. Now, I don't personally believe that in all those cases it actually was the Master Jesus, or the Virgin Mary, or Count Saint Germain, or whoever. And in one way, it doesn't matter, because the message was right. And if they were, say, of a Catholic upbringing, they would think it was the Virgin Mary, because that's what they would go to. And it might be their guide. It might be a woman from this world who's on a higher realm, and they think it's Virgin Mary. And I actually, strange enough, because I've had many contacts myself from this world, not from other planets, but from this world, I became very sympathetic to guides. I made some mistakes myself, actually, when I first started out down the sort of channeling line, which Dr. King helped me with. And I thought, my goodness, I got the identities of the guides wrong myself, so I'm familiar with this. And I said to him, well, shall I, you know, getting this wrong, maybe I shouldn't be doing it. He said, absolutely do it. He encouraged me, and I learned many things. And one of them was I became very sympathetic to guides, guardian angels, call them what you like, higher beings, because it's very problematic for them. Look at it from their point of view. They're trying to get, you know, not many people do. In fact, I nearly wrote a book once called A Good Guide Guy, you know, to sort of get people to look at it that way. And really, when you think about it, there they are. They're trying to influence their person, whoever they're responsible for, or people, in a good way, and their people aren't listening to them. They don't even believe in them in many cases. They're still trying to guide them, or they get through to them and the person thinks they're Virgin Mary or Jesus or St. Peter or perhaps Sri Krishna or some other being, which they aren't. But they are listening to them. They just got their identity wrong. And what's it, from the guide's point of view, what should they then do? Should they then carry on with that person thinking they're someone they're not? But still getting the message through, or yeah. Should they think, okay, and you, this is just an example, and you can see, and I don't think there's a yes or no answer, I think it would all depend. When you get into the world of maybe Doreen Virtue, and I could name others, I won't, they're still active today, they will give a very irresponsible idea, some of them, that you can virtually take a weekend or a seminar or a month course, and by the end of it, you can virtually choose your... You know, I'll have the Archangel Michael, and tomorrow I'll have, you know, somebody else. And it's just not true. Now,
yeah.
It might be awakening some abilities, but they're getting lots of things wrong as well. It's not even that safe. And, of course, the dangerous thing can be if you really get misguided, you have uncontrolled imagination that you think is guided and it isn't, and you're following it, and you'll go up, the wrong path. So... this is where the training of Dr. King really helped me. And when I train other people, I say, look, often you don't know. Something has come to you. You don't know where it's come from, for a start. And you don't know whether it's real or whether it isn't sometimes. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong in that. Don't worry about that. Three words you're going to need. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You know, and like the old Socrates thing, you know, I'm the wisest man because I know what I don't know. And yeah. Then you can move on from there, and gradually, as you develop, your intuition will give you the answers. It takes a lot of patience.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I wish this were 3 hours I could talk to you. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. And we're going to talk. I think there's an end game. I'm going to put myself out on a limb for a minute. I really do think there's an end game. I think there is a purpose in everything we're talking about and a lot of things we're not talking about, because I am a very simplistic person at some levels, and I'll tell you why. I thought Jesus talked to me, and here's the reason. I'm in the church on the weekend because they didn't pick me up. I now know they didn't pick me up because my mom was dying, right?
Oh,
I know that today. But I'm in there with a whole bunch of nuns. Like, we're in the church. Like, what 6-year-old wants to be in the church with a whole bunch of nuns sitting next to the meanest nun for me that I ever met, Sister Michael Anthony, right? Can you believe I can remember her name? Hello, right? And I'm sitting there, and I was enamored by the Stations of the Cross. I didn't even understand them. I'm 6 years old. But, have you ever seen the pictorial version of them in a chapel, and you go into a church, a Catholic church.
I've heard of them, of course.
Some of them are very simple, but this one at this boarding school, top of the food chain boarding school, they were carved, beautiful, three-dimensional. And I happen to be sitting at the ninth Station of the Cross. Now, here's what I learned about myself, and I'll share it when we come back. I turned... and there he was. He was like right there. This is the one he falls down for the third time. And he's right there. And that's when I heard the message. But here's what I want to talk about when we come back. Because I think there is an end game. I think there is a master plan. I think it's simplistic master plan. Mm-hmm. I think that for me, I am so naive that I think everything could be included in it, right?
Yeah.
Whether you believe in the evolution of monkeys or you believe in the Big Bang Theory.
But
here, when we come back, I want to talk with you about this.
Yeah, let's do that.
These abilities have a purpose, and we're going to talk about that. But before we go to break, we got to tell people about the Spiritual Freedom Show. We got to tell people about how people can follow you, because they're going to get a lot more of this. And also, your book, I believe, is for sale, on Amazon.
Unlocking Psychic Powers, yeah, among others. But yeah, it still is. Yeah, it's still out there after almost 40 years. And it's still out there. Actually, I'll tell you one country. It's not a very popular country with some people, but it's very big in Russia for some reason. Yes. I hear about that. You know, I don't get much royalties, I have to say. They're not very good at paying royalties, but I don't mind. It's big out there in one or two other places. But, yeah, you can get it from Amazon. Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, I could tell you from my experience why that is. Now, this is a book that came before its time, but so did you. I don't know which lifetime this is for you. But when we come back, we're going to talk about what if there was a master plan that included us to have these abilities.
Absolutely.
What about that?
Yeah.
And Dr.
Yeah.
George King, for you, somebody just texted me. So let me tell you how you can find out about Dr. George King, because this is one of these people that I thought about if there was ever somebody that I could have, should have, would have bumped into in 1996 and 1997, along with Sedona Cahill, my mentor, it would have been this man, drgeorgeking.org. When you go there, you're going to see what Richard's talking about. It's the science. It's the mysticism. It's yoga. It's spirituality. But you're watching a man in some of these images conducting science. When we come back, we're going to talk about what if this was the end game, this thing we're going to talk about. However, you all out there want to talk with Richard? Come on, 1-800-930-2819. I bet you have got way better questions for him than I do. His show is off the charts. I'm so thrilled that he does that on our network. And by the way, look at the table of contents of this book. Go to Amazon. Look at the table of contents. Unlock your psychic abilities, right? Go ahead and look
powers.
At that. Right? Let's take a short break. Benny, Micah, we'll be right back with the most incredible Richard Lawrence.
Stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself. And we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Tune in to Spacious Unknowing Network, Communing with Your Soul, with Julio Rose and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited, infinite love.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belz on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart, because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why or how, the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become. This is the time to change. And gratitude, meeting with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Trust busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Everybody, welcome back. For those of you that are watching the KKNW stream, you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, Benny, you should have let Richard finish, but we're going to pick it up. I want you to know this, though. If you want to find out about Richard Lawrence, please, please connect with Richard. And we have a caller. I don't know if we're doing readings on the show. Are we doing any readings on the show if people call
in? I don't
in?
Normally, but let's see if I can help at all. I don't normally do
let's
readings
on radio.
Let's see if
we can
radio,
help. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. For those of you out there, please go to richardlawrence.co.uk. The other thing is you can Google him and you will get him. You could also, by the way, amazing show. You have to go back and listen to some of these episodes. I have to listen to some of these episodes that Richard does like a couple times. I have to go back. And it's the Spiritual Freedom Show, the Psychic and Intuitive Aspects of Enlightenment. Okay, that was number 18, but it doesn't matter. Just go find him. He's on the Transformation Network, Transformation Talk Radio. Please check him out. And the book, I got a text message. Let me just be clear about what the book is. Yes. If you go to Amazon, there's a book, and yes, it is from, I think, 2008. It doesn't matter.
That's the latest. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Unlock Your Psychic Powers, How to Master Your Latent ESP. That's the book I was reading, the table of contents. I want everybody to know that. That's where I was getting this from. Okay. So much in here. Okay, Richard, I want to get into this, and then we're going to go to the phones.
Okay.
The thing that never left me. And by the way, I was thrown out of Catholic boarding school. They brought in my soon-to-be stepmother with my dad. And this was a woman, very young woman. He married like Rob the Cradle, totally. First child, 12. She had a second child, 13. Beautiful woman. Never experienced Catholicism before. See, because where she grew up, everybody got to talk to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
They wanted me to recant. Is that the right word?
Yeah, probably. That's what
they
Galileo
wanted me to take back.
Repent. Yeah.
They wanted me to acknowledge that didn't happen.
Oh, right. Okay.
That didn't happen.
Okay.
They wanted me to acknowledge that. So here is the end game for me. I didn't do it because I didn't understand. I didn't know how to lie about what happened. You know, I didn't. I'm 6 mm-hmm. years old. My stepmom, she jumped in like a hot knife on butter. And she said, and she's from the South. She said, I don't understand where you all practice here. That there's only the bishop that can talk to Jesus. She said, I grew up in a church where everybody talks to Jesus. We sing to Jesus. And she went on. And they threatened her. And I learned about my stepmom. You don't threaten my stepmom. And so at 6 years old, on my resume, it says, got thrown out of Catholic boarding school. Now here's the end game, and we're going to go to the phones. See, I think it's like you. I think we're having this conversation because we have been called to help other people. Why else would anybody be given any of this, Richard? Why?
Yeah, exactly. And I'd go further than that, actually.
Please.
The more advanced experiences. Now, Spiritual Freedom Show, which we put out, as you say, on we're delighted to be on Transformation Talk Radio, by the way. And it goes out at 12 noon. First and third Saturdays of the month, and you can get the old issues, as you say. Now, some of that, I have to say, is fairly advanced knowledge and information. We try to make it as accessible as we can. There are no limits, and this is something I've got to get into my thick head as well, to how far we can all go, all the way through to ascension. That is what we're told. There are, you know, and the ascended masters, which aren't all men, by the way, male and female, ascended masters from all races. They're often called the Great White Brotherhood, but most of them aren't. Some are, like Count Saint Germain, who I mentioned, but they're not all white skinned by any means. In fact, the minority are. But that organization, the ascended masters of Earth, you can call it that brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever you want to call it, that body of people, we can all attain to one day. This is the great thing. There are no limits upon us whatsoever. The great states like cosmic consciousness, samadhi, and this is one thing Dr. King really laid down. This is something we can all do if we set our minds to it. The higher states aren't going to just sort of happen just haphazardly, the highest state. Some things will happen like that. There's something we're going to have to set our minds to and aim for. But if we do, we can attain them. So there really are no limits. And you don't have to be a bishop. You don't have to be of any particular standing from a spiritual or any other point of view to have real spiritual experiences. And I don't know whether the poet William Blake, an artist, is that well known in America. I'm not sure, but he's massive over here.
I know him. That doesn't mean anything, though.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, he said quite openly and very clearly in the 18th century that he practiced channeling. He didn't use that phrase, of course, but he actually said that some of his work came from people on other realms, on heavenly realms, I think he would have called them. And he actually said he's got more books published in the higher sphere than he's got published here on Earth.
Wow.
And yet, you know, even to this very day, scholars reject that completely. I mean, they even, some of them will call it schizophrenic or, you know, psychotic.
That's right.
The very same people who will do that will celebrate him as one of the greatest poets who's ever lived as well. So it is ridiculous. I mean, there are obviously mental health hazards. You're an expert in that. I know one has to be careful. One has to be balanced.
Oh, yes.
But there is no limit
no.
to what any one of us can attain, particularly in the psychic field. Doesn't mean we all have to be mediums or we all have to do anything. I would recommend everyone to become a healer of one kind or another because that's something
it.
You can all do. That's the
that's
best
it.
Thing.
That is it. And we're going to go right to the phones because what you just said, it is time for us to redefine the word healer to really mesh with the contemporary world we live in. Healer, helper, assister, reliever of, whatever it wants to be.
Yeah.
Benny, let's go right to the phones here. Let's see if we can do some helping.
Miranda from New York, welcome to the show.
Hi, Miranda. How can we help you today?
Hi, Dr. Pat. Thank you so much. And
I'm really
enjoying your show. Yes, it's wonderful. And hello, guest.
Yeah.
So, hello, Miranda.
Amazing.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, he is amazing. Yes, I think give me some your intuitive insight onto career, what's in store for me. I've been trying to establish myself and move forward. But, you know, not much is happening, and just wondering
good.
What you're
talking about. I love this. Good. Richard's going to go, then I'm going to go, because we got some stuff for you.
Okay. I didn't, you know, I don't normally do this kind of reading now over the radio, but what I will say is this, Miranda. I do think that sometimes when there's a blockage, and it can be a blockage in relationships, it can be a blockage in career, can be a blockage in a field of hobby or something, it's for a reason. And in fact, I'd go further, and this doesn't apply to you, I'm sure, Miranda, but to some people, it could even be some kind of emotional or mental health issue, which is blocking them. And sometimes that can be for a very good reason, and the reason can be that there's something else that you need to look at in your life before this issue will fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
This is a silly example, but I think it was the Poseidon Adventure. Anyway, a film author who wrote one of the great sort of classic thrillers could not write at all and had a blockage. And what they wanted to write was a comedy, and they weren't being asked to write a comedy. Anyway, just cutting a lot. This is only to illustrate the point, Miranda. They wrote a comedy. Nobody really wanted it. It wasn't, didn't go anywhere, but it's what they really wanted to do. Once they'd done that, then they wrote whatever it was, the Poseidon Adventure, whatever the film was, and went on to massive success in what the original thing. But there was this one thing they had to get out of their system. So with you, it may not be a career thing that's really holding you up. It could be a spiritual thing, for example. Mm-hmm. It could be something close to home that you need to look at and deal with, face up to, remove whatever it is that's sort of standing between you and a free flow to bring about your career. Do you think there is anything maybe like that? You don't have to say over the air what it is.
Yeah.
But it's kind of unresolved, Miranda.
Yeah. Miranda,
no,
I'm on the same page.
No. Well, actually, I've been told by so many psychics in the past, I haven't gone to one in quite some time. Whenever I did get a reading, everyone would, you're here to do something very, very meaningful. You're a healer. And, I'm doing that on a very small scale, but I'm just trying to branch out a bit, and it's just not happening, and I feel like, okay, this is sort of like mixed messages here on the one hand. And I've had very profound spiritual experiences where I was actually, it was spelled out for me what I was supposed to do. But like, I keep asking myself, well, when is it supposed to happen?
All right. I'm going to help you right now. Okay. Here's the deal, Miranda. You ready? The answer is inside of you. It is not with those other people. And here's what I want to say about it, because Richard's right. When I graduated from my doctorate, everybody on the planet told me what a great, high-powered, high-paying organizational consultant I was going to be. I wanted to throw up. That's what they told me. They told me that. They said, based on the power of your research, nobody considered the fact that my research had to do with understanding the pain that people were feeling from loss, broken promises. It was never intended. But here's the way the universe works. In my case, I would have stayed on track and have gone to one of the top one or two consulting firms. I'd probably be dead now. But I didn't, because I met a mentor along the way in the middle of my program. She introduced me to a spiritual way of being I didn't understand. So here's my question. I really want you to contemplate this. What is in Miranda's heart? Not what anybody has told you, and I coach people all over the world, and we start at what is in your heart, not what's in your mind. But when you think about the perfect career path for you, does it feel light? If it doesn't feel light, it's not right.
It actually does feel light. It actually is in alignment with what the others are saying.
The other part of the answer is what Richard said.
Yeah.
When we have something that feels light, and I went through this as well, and it doesn't show up, I got depressed. The only reason I'm talking to you right now and Richard is because in the middle of my lowest point in time in my life, and when on paper, no way was I supposed to be depressed. I just graduated with all sorts of awards and all this stuff. I was depressed beyond, I couldn't get off the couch. That's why I created Crust Busting. But here's what happened to me. I dialed a wrong phone number, and I didn't hear a voice say, don't hang up. I knew not to hang up. And within 10 minutes, I pulled out a credit card and bought my first hour of airtime in 2003 on the internet. And I could feel the joy. So what I want to say to you, I don't know exactly what it is, and if we had more time or you wanted to call Richard and spend more time with him, here's what I want to say. Usually when it feels light, there's something else blocking it, either a fear, I don't trust it, something. There's something in there. That's what you've got to wrap yourself around and find out what that is.
Okay, will do.
But can I give you some advice on how to do it?
Sure.
You're not going to be able to think your way out of it. What has to happen right now, and this is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, you have to have a really, really cool conversation with yourself and the spiritual energy around you, because the answers are right there in front of you. They may not always be what we want. Clearly, buying hundreds of thousands of dollars of airtime ended a 14-year relationship, made my friends think I was losing my mind, but it was so right for me. So if you can experiment with that, I'd love to know what you find. Okay, Miranda?
Okay.
It's right there in front of you. I know it is. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll look. Thank you.
Yeah, no, don't look.
Good luck, Miranda.
I want you to look. Don't look. Don't be looking. I want you to be like, and it'll show up within 3 seconds. Richard, right?
Yeah, and you know, one thing I think often too with people in general, not just Miranda, they're searching for things outwardly that they should be doing or they need to do or where to go, and not searching inwardly.
That's it.
And often if you go within, and you need to find your path, and we all have to do that. And, you know, I recommend the path laid out in Realize Your Inner Potential. We've talked about that before. That's Dr. King's book that I co-authored with him.
Yep.
And that really helps you to contact that inner part of your being. And then the outer world can flow from it. Getting those two in balance is very difficult. Most people in the world have an imbalance. Most people don't focus on their inner development much at all.
You have to. And you have to do it.
Movement, I mean, I remember talking to a workshop leader, a spiritual teacher, I think she described herself as, very sincere person, trying to help people. And she told me she feels unfulfilled. She feels a bit depressed. She's telling people how they can help their lives, but she herself isn't satisfied. And I said, well, these exercises you're teaching people, how often are you doing them yourself?
Yeah.
And she said, well, I haven't got time to do them
anymore. Right.
You know, and that was it. And, you know, that just, okay, that's it. You've got to do, you can't
be doing that
and not reflecting it in your own development.
I'll tell you, that was my aha moment for the weekend. And, you know, there's not enough time to talk about it because I absolutely want to go to Pat. Benny, can we bring on, is Pat still there from Connecticut?
Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank Pat, so how can we help you? We have a few minutes. We're going to try to get right at it for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Quick summary. My whole life has been extremely difficult. I've been told by many that, you know, when I was up there choosing, I choose way too much, or this was my last life, I'm getting everything done. I dealt with all that, but the past 2 years have been one unbelievable crisis after another, which has put me into financial devastation and worry. I dealt with each one unbelievably for 2 years, one thing after another.
Yeah.
And now I'm so exhausted. It started actually with a very mild stroke. And I'm depressed because I don't have energy and I'm weak. And I'm struggling with anxiety from all the stress. I just want to change the corner a bit so I can grab a hold, you know, and start doing my art and start living and start being, you know, feeling the joy and the peace inside of me. I'm real, real tired from anxiety every single day in my body. I'm at the point where I'm concerned about my health. I feel like my life's going out.
Okay.
That's it. It's a lot.
Okay, you come to the right place. Let me go first because I need to give you something practical. I don't know if you heard the show I did yesterday with Faust, F-A-U-S-T. He's out of Pennsylvania. And he has a phenomenal way to help people in anxiety, right? So you need to go just from a practical perspective. The bottom line is this is time for you to take care of you. That's my overall message real quick.
Right.
But it's so funny that I interviewed this guy yesterday, Richard. I mean, I don't even know how that even happened. It wasn't supposed to be, but he's very close to where you are. So one of the things you may want to reach out and get that kind of help from him. He is incredible. And he has a, just go do it. His name is Faust, F-A-U-S-T, and it's Faust Ruggiero. And I'm just going to spell it. You know who it is?
He's young. I see him on my computer. Thank you for that.
Okay. All right. So this book, this Fix Your Anxiety Handbook, it's not out yet. But he works with people all over the world, okay?
Okay. Okay.
That's what I want to say to you because, look.
Thank you.
I know what it's like to have a rough childhood. You ever hear my seven-second story about my childhood?
Okay, I'll look for it.
No, I don't talk. I don't write about it. It's really quick. It's at age six, I was abused in Catholic boarding school, beat every night, expelled from Catholic boarding school. My mother committed suicide when I was in Catholic boarding school. I was homeless at age 17, and by the time I was 19, I was arrested and spent some time in Plainfield, New Jersey's jail for something I didn't do. That's now age 19. But that does not define my life. So we have to start with you. Richard, jump in here. We got a couple of minutes.
I just want to say this, just to throw in, and I agree with what you've already been told there by Pat, but I feel that you've had some bad guidance somewhere down the line, Pat.
Yeah.
That you've been given some wrong information and that you've had some things laid on you.
Yeah.
That some people have been telling you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And you've kind of got a sort of something you feel you've needed to live up to and maybe you feel you haven't lived up to. Is that making any sense to you at all, Pat?
Yeah, but I'm pretty much beyond that. I'm just so, you know, at this point, desperate to get to myself and my art.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm so desperate to have the fear out of my body and tranquility in, you know.
Okay. Well, you've got beyond it, which is great. And sometimes it leaves it like it's ripples, you know. It's not
a residual effect.
Yeah. You've got through to the root of it. As long as you know, you've understood and you've had to face. Okay, that these people, whoever they are, or this person was telling me something that was wrong, that I didn't need to do, and you realize that. Now you've just got to let it all settle, and it will settle. I'm just going to throw one thing into the mix, which is, might sound really simple, and it is really simple, but it can really help, and that's deep breathing.
Oh, my God.
And just doing that for a few minutes, if you like, with the mouth closed, preferably, and just breathing evenly. So you do a count mentally, and the count that you breathe in, you have the same count out. And this way, you bring balance into your life. You also bring energy into your life. There are things you can obviously add to that. I mean, I do quite extensive breathing exercises every day. And
we have
to.
And it can
lead to psychic powers and all sorts of things. But at this point, you need some calming, still, keep your body as still as you can. You can just be seated on an ordinary chair. You don't need to adopt a yoga posture or asana. Have the spine straight, close the eyes. A green light bulb, if you have one, is very good. There's a very balancing color. And just breathe deeply and evenly. The only other thing I would say is that in the Aetherius Society, which I'm secretary of, we give healing, we give absent healing, we don't charge for it. You can receive that. I mean, some donate, but you don't have to. And
perfect.
Through our website, aetherius.org, you'll find contacts. We have a headquarters in LA and also up in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
And elsewhere. And our healers will certainly help as well. There's a couple of things I throw your way.
Yeah, Pat, that is exactly where I'd start. Go to the organization that Richard, go to Aetherius. Spell that for Pat, would you?
That's aetherius.org. And among the many things we do a lot of healing. And we have wonderful healers.
Oh, perfect.
Who will can't harm you, and it might make a big difference. We don't promise anything. It's not faith healing. But it is just a natural flow of energy. It can only help.
So, Pat, here's my last question, then we got to go. Are you willing to take action on your own behalf today?
Absolutely.
That's it. You're an official trustbuster.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Tuesday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We're still on Highway 9 northbound, southbound from South Pass Road around mile plus 90 to Massey Road around mile plus 89. There's a collision blocking most of the lanes in that area. It's a response team, tow assistance, and State Patrol have all arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that collision.
News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Consumer confidence is falling due to worries about high inflation. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index fell more than 2.5 points in July for its third straight monthly decline. The board's Lynn Franco noted rising food and gas prices continue to weigh on consumers. There's still time to buy a ticket for one of the largest lottery jackpots ever. Tonight's Mega Millions drawing is now worth $830 million. The cash prize is about $488 million. President Biden is being cleared to resume physical exercise. Dr. Kevin O'Connor released a letter saying the president's COVID symptoms are almost completely resolved. Biden has said he hopes to get back to work in the Oval Office by the end of the week. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who claimed the Sandy Hook school shooting in Connecticut was a hoax, is at a Texas courtroom for his defamation trial. Defense attorney Andino Reynolds says the internet talk show host shouldn't be blamed for what his guests say.
Alex Jones was wrong to believe these people, but he didn't do it out of spite.
Jones showed up to court with a piece of duct tape over his mouth. On it, he had written the words, "Save the first." The court hearing is to determine how much he'll have to pay the victims. Members of the 9/11 community are protesting a planned Saudi-funded LIV golf tournament at former President Trump's golf course in New Jersey. Lisa G reports.
Matthew Bacci, who lost his father on 9/11, feels Saudi Arabia not only helped and funded the 9/11 hijackers, but also Al-Qaeda.
They need to know our feelings. They need to know how hurt we are by this.
The protesters feel golfers are taking blood money to defect from the PGA and join the Saudi-sponsored tour. They say they'll be back on Friday when the tournament begins.
McDonald's is out with its latest quarterly earnings report, and the company's CEO says there are plenty of challenges. He cited soaring inflation and Russia's war in Ukraine as just two of the headwinds affecting things. As for the second quarter numbers, more than $5.7 billion in revenue just missed expectations. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Seattle Children's. Hope, care, here.
Did you know 1 in 5 kids will have a mental health problem that needs treatment? Notice early signs of mental health issues, feeling very sad or withdrawn for 2 or more weeks, severe mood swings, changes in eating or sleeping habits, or a sudden overwhelming fear for no reason. If your child is showing 1 or more of these signs, talk with your doctor right away. Visit SeattleChildrens.org. Good growing for help with your parenting journey.
Let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Gorgeous and sunny day again today. High temperatures around 90, 91 degrees. We'll have a little bit of wind out of the west to northwest at 6 to 10 miles per hour. Takes that slight edge off the heat. Clear skies and low temperatures back down to about 66 for this evening. For Wednesday, Thursday, and running up into the weekend, high temperatures in the upper 80s to low 90s still, with clear skies through the overnight and low temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Savvy Solutions with Gina Gale Gray. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle. Find your solutions by joining me, Gina Gale Gray. Welcome to Savvy Solutions with Gina Gale Gray.
everybody, welcome. I'm you can see me smiling. I got my okay, my face is stuck, like I had plastic surgery or something. But I'm smiling because I am what you don't hear, and maybe Micah will save some of those outtakes, because just had a great conversation with my very special guest today. And I say very special because of this. When you live in this world, you get to figure out, do I have a choice about the way I feel, the way I am, and what I do? And it was no mistake that somebody back, I don't know how many decades ago, gave me a book. And the book they gave me was Viktor Frankl's book. Now, I got to tell you, if you knew me 20, 30 years ago, there's no way that I even understood what the word consciousness was. That was not me. My face could stop traffic. But today, I want to tell you about somebody. I want to tell you about a person that said yes to this life. And when she said yes to this life, what was she saying yes to? Was she saying yes to, being on the show? Was she saying yes to creating and carving out a way to help other people? Was she saying yes to her own personal transformation? Was she saying yes, fill in the blank yourself? Deborah Mackenwood is joining me here today. And here's what I say about Deborah. Yes to all of those and so much more. There is never a mistake that I have seen in the shows that get brought to you all. And this is what you've asked for. Do you know how to call in happiness in your life? And do you even know how to ask? How to ask? What is going on? How can I be clear about this? What is my next step? Well, that's what we're going to dig into, because happiness, I'm telling you right now, happiness by choice, that is the way to go. Deborah, it's so great to have you. Thank you for joining me here today.
Oh, yay. You're so welcome. I'm so happy. I'm just like totally buzzing. Even before we came on here, so I'm just like on a total high, and it's so amazing. I'm so grateful for this, you know, so yeah.
Well, look, you have done so many things. You're also the co-founder of Ask Life Clarity. Now, I want to say this. I have mentioned a few things about you, but I didn't even mention the rest. Besides workshops, besides one-on-one coaching, besides teaching across the globe, you have accomplished so much. But here's the question. I would love to know, given all of that and stuff I didn't even ask you about yet, I want to know, what are some of the challenges? What are some of the obstacles you, Deborah, had to overcome to bring you to this very moment?
Wow, that is a very big question. Yay! The obstacles, which I am so grateful that I had many, many, let's say, challenges as well. I think that probably one of the big ones for me, or one of many big ones, but one of the big ones was nearly 10 years ago, I was a very, very happy married woman. And I was just super happy. I thought I was super happy with my husband, Jeff. Well, behind the scenes probably was a different story in my head. But with my husband, we had many, many years together, and then we got married. And then just shortly after our beautiful, amazing marriage, my husband died. And it was pretty tragic. So for me at that point, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is even happening. One year before, I was walking down the aisles, the love of my life, and I was like, yay, this is just best. And I thank God I found him, because it took me so long to find someone like him. And then little did I know, I was going down the same church aisle saying goodbye. So for me after that, I went inwards. I was parental for the pain. I was just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous coming on. So obviously it's very new, brief to me. I never knew such pain like that. So I went into a state of hibernating. You know, I didn't want to see anyone. And even when I did go out, I started to develop anxiety. I started to develop stress and fear, insecurities, all the whole sadness, anger, rubbish, everything that came with it. So I was a bit like, okay, I can't do this. And everything that was within me, from my past, threw up on top of the grief. So I just kind of thought, hold on, I need to do something here. I can't I can't do this. I don't want to live like this. I'm happy existing. I don't want this anymore. So I decided to go to India. And one of the things that both myself and my husband spoke about openly was death. Not because we thought we were going to leave our bodies early days. We just spoke about it. You know, what, say I wanted to die, what would we do? How would we sit there? Mm. And then we go, oh, no, I don't want to talk about that. I can't imagine even being away from you. I don't want to talk about it, but let's talk about it. So we talked about it, and one of the things that came up was he wanted some of his ashes to be scattered in Varanasi in the holy Vedic Ganga. He wasn't Indian. We came from it. The reason why is another story, but it was one of his wishes. No pressure on me, though. I had anxiety, so how am I going to get on the flight? Oh, my God. So I did what I had to do, and because of that, out of the loss that I had, it became one of the biggest turning points in my life, and it became the thousands of people's gain because of the loss. I went to India, and yeah, I happened to go on a very deep, intense journey for 5 years and train and study in the Himalayas and El Gora, and I was dragged through my childhood in my head because I had to train. So one of the most important things I wanted to say in this line, because of what I do with the team in India, the most phenomenal team, you know, my mentor, Krishna Nantaburu, the team is just phenomenal. And one of the things he had said to me, before you allow to train or study, to do anything to support humanity, you need to be clear on your life. You need to have every single thing in your past. And I had a heavy past, even my childhood. Every single emotion that you hold, your fear, your suppression, your insecurities, your everything, that all needs to go. Because if you're going to support somebody, you need to be 100% for them and in yourself. Because it will drain you if you're supporting someone else and you're not clear yourself. Mm. So for me, that was a massive turning point. It was a very deep process of cleansing. Because I was very good with the ego. Oh, my, I'm okay. Yeah, fine. No bother on me. Yes, wait. No problem. And I went through the process. It was amazing. And now, 10 years later, it's like I am actually giving back to so many people, and they're becoming happy again, just like me. And it's like, it's so beautiful. So that was the reason why, because of the loss.
Yeah.
It's been the biggest game.
You know, it's so important and inspiring to hear those words come from you, to hear you share your story, because it is really from our vulnerability with each other when we open up our hearts that we can inspire each other in ways that the thoughts of our mind cannot. Mm-hmm. And I so honor you for sharing that with us. And I can only imagine what that journey is like. You and I have something in common, although I did not go to the next step. I shared this the other day on a show, and I don't talk about my past very much. And about 3 years ago, one of the listeners said, you need to tell us more about you. You're like a mystery. We can read your bio, but every once in a while, Pat, you'll drop a little thing like your mom's suicide or being homeless.
Mm.
And I didn't realize I was doing that, but then I realized I was doing that. But one of the things I love is how something will show up in our lives that will call us to take an action, that will set us on a path that neither one of us could have planned. Now, my story didn't get me to India, but it got me close enough. Well, part of it was when I was homeless, I was on the corners of New York. I'm begging for money with my baseball cap on. You know, I didn't even know how I got there. All I knew is I was thrown out, but I went to New York because I was from New York. And on the corner, and this is back in the day, right? On the corner, there were three people. One had a tambourine. One had sticks, and the other one, I don't remember exactly, but they were doing something that sounded like singing, but it wasn't. They were the Krishna people, the Hare Krishna people.
Yeah.
And they were that. So my brain went,
I need clean clothes. No, honestly, this is what I thought.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, I started to talk with them. These people saved my life. They mm-hmm. saved my life. Mm-hmm. I now know what they were. I now know that they were mantra. They were Sanskrit. I have such a love and appreciation for Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. I think in a past life, I must have come from India. My table tennis partner is from India. And so the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I want to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. See, you were at a choice point.
Yeah.
You did not have to move forward. But mm-hmm. when I look at what you created, Deborah,
mm-hmm.
when I look at, and I look at AskLifeClarity.com, your website, and mm-hmm. I look at counseling, and I look at healing, and I look at why ask, and I look at the programs, the only thing I could think of is I want to be you when I grow up.
You are totally going to hear. I think you are just niche on the fight over here and just straight away for us and the team. Nothing easy. You know what? And I really appreciate that because, you know what? Honestly, if I really want to be really raw and honest about the whole situation, when my husband died, right, it was just the icing on the horrible cake, right, for me to actually be like, oh, my God. But you see, what I was suppressing behind the scenes, even after the loss, was a string of problems that I was the best actress, you know. I was great at hiding things. Like, I remember years ago, because I come from Ireland, obviously, as you know from the accent, all the way from Ireland. And I come from a family of 8 children. So I actually, my mom and dad, so cute, but it was tough. So we came from poverty and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so I didn't have like the best of upbringing, right? Not due to mom and dad. I've never blamed them for anything. It was just poor parenting down to what, too many children. It was their fault. So I actually started to become, I made really bad choices because I was so naive. I was so desperate. I was so insecure. I absolutely hated myself. I just didn't even know who I was. I was so empty. And you know, like, and I think the biggest problem out there, unfortunately, is, and not because of poor parenting or your childhood, I think, yeah, somewhat it is a big problem. But when we get lost in who we are, you know, it's like, how do you just don't love yourself? Like, why would we not love ourselves? We have to live in this amazing body 24/7, and we're down and out and giving it a hard time, and the poor body's like, hello, I have to carry you every day. Like, come on. You know, and how does it change? It's by choice. Up here, the mind needs to change. It's like, what other options have you got? You can either not have the choice and let yourself be down and out and suffer, or get out of there. And how do we do it? Is by understanding how we think. That is the only way forward, isn't it? And you know, coming from your childhood, and look at how amazing. When I hear this, I'm like, oh my God, I totally want to give you a hug. Like, I'm coming from homeless, and like all these things that's gone on in your life. And look at you, or every, like myself, like so many people in the world that want to change, and you have every right to have that change if you want to. We don't get out of here alive, none of us. We're all going to go. But at least you're going to go and go, at least I don't know something about it.
You know, you're so right. I want to ask you about this. And for those of you who are just listening, I just want to make sure you all know how to really follow us along during the show. I love that you all do that. This is what they tell. This is what we have the best audience on the planet. So I just want to say this audience is 20 years in the making, and I want to say they are the best. And I want all of you to see why we're talking about what we're talking about. So when you go to AskLifeClarity.com, and there is a question there, and there is a question about, ask us for a simple, powerful tool to stop sabotaging. Break free, unshackle your mind. If you're looking at this and you're looking at Deborah Mackin and you're looking at who she is and what she does, you'll understand that what has been created here is a way for all of us to understand
that we have the ability to do exactly this. I want to talk with you about this because this has come up a lot now in the past 2 weeks from people that I work with. And I mentioned to you earlier, I mentor women. One of the things that seems to come up a lot around happiness and happiness by choice. And somebody actually said this to me. So let's get down and get at this, right? The other day, somebody said to me, you know, Pat, I'm hearing you talk and you get these great people on your show, but I got to tell you, does any of them wake up in the morning and see they have a negative bank account balance? And I looked at her and said, look, to be honest with you, that's not foreign to me. That has happened to me. But what are you going to do with that information? So let's talk about this because, see, that's a choice point, isn't it? I'm using money as an example because it's up for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be that. In my case, 6 months after the show, you're going to love this. I'm giving a workshop, 2004, April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2004, Live Your Greatest Dream. By the time this was over, my right ankle had been the size of a very large grapefruit. Now, a really long story, and I'm going to make it short. I had attracted a mystery disease that would stay with me for 10 years.
Wow.
But I know why. And this is what I'd like you to talk about. I want you to talk about doubt. Because in the traditions, in what you've learned, in what we know, to me, is one of the most insidious energies on the planet. And it sneaks up on you. And 6 months after paying for airtime and saying yes to this, everybody thought I lost my mind. They thought, why are you turning down these high-powered jobs? Why are you doing? And I started to doubt myself. So help us understand. Happiness by choice. How do we eradicate doubt?
Okay, so doubt, I mean, when we doubt ourselves, it can be for so many reasons, more so you just don't believe in yourself, so you don't think you're capable. I don't think I can do this. Well, don't do it then. You know, it's as simple as that. It's like, but of course you can do it, because you would have, so say you're saying to yourself, oh my God, I don't know whether I'm going to, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to, this is going to pull off, if this, like, this air show is going to happen and that, but how did it happen? You know, that doubt obviously has turned into some ability in your mind. You're gonna, I can do it. You might have suffered along the way, but you're a living proof of how you turned doubt around into something very positive. Why? Because you have every reason to do it, because you love what you do. So when you really love what you do, you know, it's like for me, when I started supporting people, I remember the first time I went back to the Channel Islands, that's where I'm based in Jersey. I remember going, oh my God, like, how am I going to take the first session? What am I going to do? And I already knew what I had to do. And I was, like, so excited. But it was the first time. And I, even though I was clearing all my emotions, you know, because we're masters at this and that, like, I was with our team, like, and there's 58 of us globally around the world, but we're behind the scenes. But when we were trained, the reason why we're masters at this is because we have learned every single emotion and understood it. To the point where we can see exactly somebody's mind by just by looking at it. It's amazing. That's what I'm looking into your mind now, okay?
Welcome to my world.
But when you look at doubt, it's like, okay, why am I doubting myself? Because you believe you can't do it. I don't think I can do this. There's no way I'm good enough. Or blah, 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 blah. And that comes from your past. You know, when you're a child, you look at a child, everyone comes into this world happy. It's fact. Even children that come into the world that are unwell, you go into, you know, a lot of charities we support children that are very unwell, and we'll try and build their lives up even at the worst case. But you see them coming into the world and say at the age of after about 2 or 3 in their body pain, but they don't know anything about life. They're still gonna smile. They're so happy. All they know is they've come into the world in pain. But that's it, right? But when we get a little bit older, right? Say if something goes wrong for us, or someone turns around and says, "There's no way you're gonna do that. You won't get a show. There's no way. Stay away in your head. You're thinking, oh, my God. That could plant a seed and make you feel doubtful because you're thinking, well, they said I couldn't do it. Maybe in school they said you're no good at that. You know, doubt comes from usually the past or someone telling you something or you believe in or your condition or whatever it is. So there's an option here. Why would you doubt yourself? For what do we get out of it? Nothing. We're just stuck in doubt. You know, we have so much power in our mind. It's so beautiful. And it's what drives us every single day, you know. It's like driving a car. You learned how to drive your car. You have to understand it, didn't you? You have to get the manual. You need how to get around, blah, 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 in order for you to get your license and get out on the streets. You're not going to get the keys of the car and you can't drive and go, well, I'll just go around, you know, Seattle and just, you know, my time around the area in my beautiful car. No, because if you don't understand something, you're going to cause yourself some trouble, aren't you? So the mind, yeah, obviously, blah, blah, blah. So it's the same around doubt. So when you look at it, what's the other option? Why not? Why would you doubt yourself? Because somebody told you you can't do it, or you believe that when you have probably proved many times over and you've forgotten, oh my God, I actually did. I remember getting that done. I remember that I did achieve that. Because we have a very short memory. It's easy to forget. So, you know, the things like that. So it's like, have we got a better option? Suffer. I'm staying out. We're coming over the other side where we belong in our authentic minds and believe in ourselves, you know, because that is who we are. We're not born to suffer or to be doubtful or be insecure and run terrible traumas into our minds, even from the past. We're here to take charge. We're here to lead our lives because none of us are getting over here alive.
You know, and that's why I ask you the question, because, you know, and we're going to talk about who Ask Life Clarity are. We're going to talk about that in a second because it's very important. Mm-hmm. You alluded, yeah, to the fact that you have a team. You alluded to a team back, yeah, behind the scenes. You and I, mm-hmm, both have that in common. You and I are here because there is a support system of, yeah, people, right? But, mm-hmm, one of the things that I didn't know back then, homeless on the street. I didn't know the name for it. Let me just say that. I didn't know the name for mindfulness. Look, I'm 17. I grew up in the projects, right? But I want to ask you this question because it's so important to many people. Right now, on mental health, globally, not just the United States, mm-hmm, the statistics that are published, I watched this because my mom did commit suicide. So I know a little bit about that. I buried three sisters and a stepmom, three sisters from addiction, right? Or the effects of addiction, throat cancer from cocaine, a stepmom whose heart exploded. And so I'm so grateful for the moments I have on this planet that somehow, some way, you know, I learned a few things. But you've created a powerful way to help people. See, that's why I'm so excited to talk with you.
Yeah.
And it starts by us understanding who Ask Life Clarity is and the significance of taking on one of the greatest challenges I do believe we have in future generations. And that's what's going on up here. Right?
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about the evolution of that and also the mission? Because your mission is so powerful.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Ask Life Clarity is like, I guess it's like one of the sister ships of the mothership of our foundation here in India. And our teachings are all under Krishnavananda Guru. He is absolutely selfless, phenomenal, white, just amazingly just out there, you know, and has taught thousands of students and thousands of people just how to think and pull people out of life challenges like that, okay? Because of the state of mind that we're in, right? And we're all stuck a little bit here, there, and everywhere, you know? He just knows how to get into your mind, and he shows you something that you already know, but you just need,
oh my God, it's like, yeah, it totally makes sense. It's very simplifying us as a team. So there's 58 of us in globally around the world, okay?
Wow.
So we've all come from, as I said, we weren't allowed teach or train unless we were all had our whole path cleared, eliminated. So we're fresh, clear one. It's like a rebirth, you know? we're not in any low emotions. We're able to take charge. We're in a very high state of awareness and self-love. We love ourselves, okay? It sounds very like, I love myself. Boy, we tell
That's a big
love
thing, though. That is a big thing. Do you know how many people that I assign the exercise, the simple one of look in the mirror and tell yourself you love? Do you know how many people cannot do that?
But why? Why wouldn't we want to love ourselves? We have
right.
to live ourselves 24/7. We're amazing. We're so unique, every single one of us. But the difference is we all think differently. That's the only difference, you know? But so we all are globally around the world. And what we do is in Aspect Clarity, we are master mindful awareness teachers. We are mind coaches. We are enablers. We are expert counselors, if you say wish. And we don't really like to say the word counselor too much, but on the Western side of the world,
yes,
it has to be used, okay?
Yes.
So, and what we do is we are just out there turning people's lives around very fast, okay? And it's very simple how we do it, okay? What the difference is in how we support, and as I talked about, Aware Living is the foundation, is going to, when I say this, right, going to the root cause, right? Now, it's easy saying, yeah, loads of people go to root causes, but it's like, how did they get there? So what do we mean by going to the root cause, okay? So it's like, if you have a puncture in your tire, right? Tire in, I'm saying the Irish way, tire.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I'm following you right along. You're absolutely right.
If you have a puncture in your tire, okay, and you keep pumping air into it, what's going to happen? You're going to have to keep pumping air in, aren't you? It's not going to really get any better, and then you're probably going to have loads of problems with that. But if you have a puncture in your tire and you get to where the puncture is and you get it fixed there and then in the day or wherever, you don't have a problem anymore. The solution, you fix it, there you go, you're off and on. It's the same thing how we go with what we do, okay? So we go straight to the cause. There's no messing around, okay? Because whilst we're supporting so many people behind the scenes globally, you know, face to face and all that sort of stuff, we come from a very, very, very big heart space. But we're not going to sit there and you say, there's something wrong with me or I'm not feeling good. I can't feel sorry for you, okay? Because that's not going to get you out. I totally want to give you a cuddle and I want to make you better. But if I feel sorry for that energy, you're already stuck in it anyways. What am I going to do with that? I don't want you to be in it anymore. So we go straight into where we need to go, and we go into getting them to understand, why in the world are you even in that place? Let's get you out. And it's getting to understand how you're thinking. And usually around the root cause of, you know, people being stuck, I'll give you an example, okay?
Yeah,
when my husband died, okay, I went to the doctor. I have never taken a sleeping tablet in my life, okay? So I went to the doctor because I couldn't sleep, obviously, because I was, you know, up to my eyes in grief. So I was lying there every night. There was 4 days after, and every night, oh, my God, I need to go to sleep. This is all too much for me. So I went to the doctor, and I went to him. I said, I don't want them, but I need some sleeping tablets because I need to sleep. So she says, absolutely, I'll give you a week's supply. And I was like, okay, great. And she goes, and what I'm going to give you as well is I'm going to give you an antidepressant tablet. And I went, well, no, because I'm not depressed. I don't want to take a tablet. I just want to sleep. I need to function, you know, because this is too heavy for me. So when the doctor, she kind of convinced me a little bit to take the antidepressant tablet. It's not something that I wanted to take. Because I just wanted to understand this new pain. So when I went to, when I did actually start taking the tablets, and then I was on them for about 3 months. I started with my whole face ballooned up. I had no emotion. I had emotion, and then I had no emotion. So I was like, oh my God, I don't even have any feelings. I feel nothing. I am just numb to the core. Like, so I went back to her and I said, I'm coming off them. And she said, can't just come off them like that. And I said, I can't. I don't want to be on them. So she was like, you need to come off them slowly. So I didn't listen, obviously. I was like, no, I'm coming off them.
Yeah, right. I'm the same way.
I was like, I'm coming off these because I didn't need them. And they only actually, what they've done was they suppressed how I feel. And I wanted to know what the feeling was. I wanted to understand, what is this all about? How did I get through it? I didn't understand it. I didn't want it. I didn't need it. You know, so for me, it was more like, okay. So it took me till the time I actually left where I lived in Jersey and to go to India shortly after my husband passed, to actually go, oh my God, like, this is what's happening in the world. Like, so many people are being given antidepressant tablets and it's depressing how they feel. It's making them worse. It's making them suicidal and blah, 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 blah. And exactly. So many clients. Yeah. And it's like, you weren't born when you came into the world with an antidepressant tablet given to you but your bottle of milk. You know, it's not like, here you go, here's an antidepressant. You were born happy, so let's get the people back to that state, or let them at least understand why they feel the way they do and stop suppressing it. Get the real cause and get it out, and this is what we do, and we are making phenomenal yeah. results around it, you know?
That's why I was very excited to talk with you, because we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to really talk about, you know, you don't know what you don't know in life sometimes. And if you don't know what you don't know, at least this is the way I've lived my life from day one. It's been my mantra since I can remember. Yes. fully understand that I don't know what I don't know. That doesn't mean I'm not curious. I don't want to learn. That I'm not eager to move forward. But I especially don't know what I don't know about myself. And when you get on that discovery.
Wow, it's beautiful.
And you face yourself, what I highly recommend is don't do it alone. That is my personal, that's what I'm saying to all y'all out there. That has never worked for me. But what we're talking about with Deborah is you don't have to work alone. When we come back from break, what we're going to talk about is we're going to look at the cycle of happiness, unhappiness. And Deborah, you're right on. My mom committed suicide because she was feisty. They gave her, back then they were called barbiturates. They gave those to her. Mm-hmm. She topped that off with alcohol.
Yeah,
but the effects of that they made her worse. See?
Yeah. Makes sense.
We don't have to go that pathway. So today we're talking about this. Now, tell folks the best way to find out about you. I think I was looking at a workshop you just did, but tell people how they can find out about you. And also, you've got programs, you even have coaching certification. So there's ways for people to get involved, right? Tell us the best way to find out about that.
Okay. So, I mean, if you just go onto the Ask Life Clarity website, which is www.asklifeclarity.com, we work globally online, so we have webinars online. We have Believe is one of the courses that we've just finished. It's amazing for me. Wow, it's super, it's just amazing.
I can't believe I missed that.
You're going on the next one.
Okay, thank you.
But how do you believe in yourself? So you'd be just sitting there with a cup of tea in the background, you know? Then we have Arise. We have Venus for Women, which is amazing. This is a 10-hour workshop that I do, and I work a lot with the body as well, because whilst the mind is a bit too active up there, what about the body? The poor body gets a whack, you know, after all the stuff that we put it through up there, and the mind is busy, so the body needs some alignment too. And then we do so many courses on coaching, on, you know, how to be more aware, self-love, you know, that is the biggest one out there. If you love yourself, you are never, ever, ever going to have a problem in your future, ever, because you're going to be in charge of who you are. You're never going to feel like doubt will ever come in. Because why? Because you love yourself. You know, you know you're capable, you know you're able, and you have the ability. Why? Because you're alive and you're kicking. So self-love is the biggest one. And usually when I'm supporting people on my side, the team is the same. I always get this. I've had a lot of people come to me and very quick, usually I only take up to 6-7, maybe one session to pull people out of stuff. It's fast. It's amazing.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
We definitely know how to do it in a very authentic, simplified way. And that's the key, right? So usually people always say to me, oh my God, I totally needed this. Like, I might have to give you a little whack to get you out of it because you're wallowing too much, you know. But it's a good whack, and the whack is up here to show you, hold on, look at this. See, here's your long list of doubts. Here's your other long list that when you didn't doubt. So which side do you want to be on? I want to be on that one. Let's get you back over there. Come on. So how were you there in the first place, you know? So usually when something goes wrong, like, you know, anything in life, you could go backwards, or you can go, I don't want to go back there. I want to go forward. So there's so much on the site, you know, for, you know, courses for healing. So if anybody wanted to reach out, there's even on the testimonials, there's so many amazing. I feel so blessed for the testimonials that I received. They really are a testament to me as a learner, because I am a learner. I'm nothing more, and I feel very grateful. And I'm continuing learning every single day until my last breath. And that's who I am, as a learner. So for me to give all, you have just amazing leverage to another, to see somebody else shine like this, is the best purpose to be in. Yeah. So anything that's needed for anybody, we can cover it in any situation, any problem. It doesn't have to be the worst case scenario. It can be. It doesn't matter. We'll take care of it and get you there. So the website will tell you everything. Yeah.
I love the testimonials, by the way. I'm actually going to talk about this when we come back, because, you know, the idea, and I call it an idea for a moment, and I want to say this to our audience, the idea that happiness is a choice, you know what that means? Yeah. It means that that's you, that that's your power, that that's your freedom. It's you. But you may not have any tools to get you from where you are. And I will tell you that once you plug in to whatever you shared, there is no going back. You may need a tune-up, just like that tire that you got fixed. You didn't go get a new tire. You put a patch on it. You may need to patch it again, until ultimately you decide to get a new tire. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, look, it was not a mistake that I was handed a book by a man who was in the worst circumstance ever imaginable. It's not a mistake somebody had the insight to give me a book at a time where I put that book so far away from anything I wanted to read, until I was ready to learn. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about self-awareness. Absolutely love talking about this. We're not going to be able to cover everything but self-awareness and mental health. Ask life clarity. You know, I get really excited about this, Deborah, because, you know, I look back at my life and I got to tell you, I can't tell you how grateful I am for the mentors that I've had along the way, life-saving people, a best friend like Linda, my mentor who passed away in 1999. When she passed away, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. But what I had learned from her kept me moving ahead. And I want to ask you about this question. There's this cycle, I think, and I don't have the right words for it, the happiness, unhappiness. It's almost like a roller coaster ride for some people, because I don't know that folks realize, and that roller coaster ride causes mental health challenges, right? It is your up, you're down. You're happy, you're depressed. And I do believe that there is a level of learning that can happen. And the more you learn, the less the ups, the less the downs. Well, can you talk about the relationship between what you do, happiness, and mental health? Because I know this is a big part of what you all do.
You see, the thing about it is, as we used to, happiness is a choice. But it's like, again, what other option do you have? It's like, if you have ups and downs and you have highs and lows, it happens, So it depends on how long you want to stay in them for, right? If you have a relationship that's not working out, but there might be a reason why you don't want to leave that relationship. Maybe you're afraid to be on your own, maybe scarcity, maybe survival, blah, 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 all of this sort of stuff that makes you stay there. So, but But if you're very happy within yourself, there's no way you would even be in a relationship like that if the relationship state was toxic and stuff like that, because you, the relationship you have with yourself will define the relationship you have with others, and that is fact, right? So when we look at happiness, yeah, it is a choice, but so many people feel like, it's easy to say, yeah, it's easy to say when I've got like this happening in my life and all of this stuff has gone wrong for me and blah, blah, blah. So what happens is the energy of who we used to be, it changes into, you know, self-pity, wallowing. It doesn't mean that you didn't have a hard life, but how long do we want to stay there? Okay, so you can be unhappy in it. But look, enjoy yourself. It's not going to work out for you. Or we can train how we think again. Okay, so what choice do I have to be happy? How am I going to be happy again? Okay, the only way to do it is by changing how you think. That is the only way. It's an altered state of mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like yourself.
Yeah.
Even when you were in a situation and homeless and all like that, you know, you got there. You got out of there. You had a choice.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll tell you what, though. I love this because, see, this is the message for our time. This is the message for our future. This is the message. Why? Why is this the message? And I'll tell you why. Because I don't think it's a mistake you and I are talking. I've been talking about the impact of social media. I've been talking about the impact of what happens when you lose your way to realize you have the power to choose, what you just said.
Yeah.
See, and that's what happens. And, you know, it's funny about this because I was reminded about 4 or 5 days ago about that Viktor Frankl book. Now, Viktor Frankl, Holocaust, concentration camps, seriously, I didn't know any of this because I'll tell you what, I was not at a place to read it.
Yeah, okay.
But one day, I looked in the mirror, and I had everything. I had the big, fat corporate career. I had the big house with 5 acres. I had the dog, the car, the sports car, the motorcycle. And I looked in the mirror on my way out, getting ready to go into my executive job, which I really realized I did not like. And on my way out of this giant foyer that is the size of most people's homes, I looked in the mirror just to check my look. I didn't recognize myself.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize myself. And I thought that it would scare me, but it made me angry. Now, that was a pivotal moment. It took a lot for me to change. But I want to ask you this thing. I would like us to create a movement on this. Because millions of people do not realize that they have this choice, Deborah. They don't realize it. And they don't really know that there are tools that this could not just be like a buzzword you and I are talking about. This is a way of life, right?
Yeah, it's a way of life. It's like if you look at it, right? So let's try and simplify it. So if you have... Yeah, there's so many. You see, so many people are stuck because they have insecurities, they have fear, they have maybe coming from addiction, or there's lots of stuff going on. So what we lose in the ability to feel that we can actually do anything, we're not good enough. You know, all of these lower emotions play havoc in people's lives, and sometimes they're so deep in it, they just can't get out because they think, oh, well, that's just the way it is. This is the way my life is. Or, you know, my past hasn't been great, so, you know, this is who I am. Is it? No, of course it's not. You know, even if you have come from a heavy past, I have, you have, you know, it hasn't defined us. You know, it's great that we've come out the other side, and, you know, credit to so many people that do. And I also look at people that can't. But it's like this. If you have a leak in your house, okay, what is the first thing you're going to do when you have a leak? Come on. What is it? We're going to go and try and find where it's from. Probably have a little panic attack on the fly.
Go grab that bucket to catch the water first, right?
We're just thinking about, oh my God, my life is going to blow up, you know. And you're creating the mindset, you know, you're all troubled out, you know, anxiety is taking. But if you have a leak in your house, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to try and find the problem, aren't you?
Yeah.
And if you can't really find a problem, you're going to then, you know, ring a plumber, get somebody on board fast. Why? Because you have to get everything sorted. Because if you don't, it will create a bigger problem and then your house is upside down. And then you're in a big, big, massive situation where everything is destroyed and then you're going to feel like, oh my God. So if you look at that, right, going to something that is not even really a priority when you think about it compared to who we are, the way we feel, why is it that we as humans aren't giving our emotions a priority like we give a leak in the house? You're already able to go and say, take charge and go, I know what I need to do. Oh my God, I don't know how to do it, but I'm just, if I just think about it right, so the house doesn't get worse, okay, I'll try and ring a plumber. Who can I think about? Your mind starts to work, you're thinking logically, I need to get this problem solved. You can do the exact same thing with how you're thinking.
Yeah.
People might go, you can't. You know, and it takes a little bit of a push and your ability to actually go, I don't want this leak anymore, because you're not going to go into your house and sit there and let the leak happen. But unfortunately, people are allowing that to happen with their emotional state. The only way to be self-aware is to be in your higher emotions, to actually take charge of it and understanding how you're actually thinking. That is the only way to do it. To understand why you're thinking. When you understand anything in this life, you'll be able to, especially this problem, and you understand it, you'll accept it. And then most likely you're going to let it go. And when you let it go, what happens? You grow. And that's how we support people as well, by getting them to understand why the hell they're in these problems in the first place.
Yeah.
And as soon as they get rid of it, they're like, oh my God, like, I should have came here years ago if I hadn't known. You know, so it's like
I love this. I love this analogy. Let me tell you why. When you said the leak, you know where I went to two places. And then the more you talked about the emotions, I got very clear on the type of leak we're talking about. You see, one of the things I know, I worked in a facilities management job, and if there's anything that will clear out a building, is a gas leak. See, when you were talking about this, I went right there. Because a gas leak is so representative, right? First of all, it hides, the smell hides, right? I mean, this is our emotions. The smell hides. And here we are, we're trying, you know, oh, okay, do you smell gas? No, I don't. Where is it? Right? And then you go into panic mode, just like our emotions. See, isn't this what we're saying? When we allow for this to happen, our emotions escalate until what? Something ignites and we explode.
100%. It's like if you wake up in the morning time and your mind is a little bit unaware and you're not self-aware, and you wake up and you're feeling, I'm not really happy. Oh, I don't feel very well. But there mightn't be really anything wrong with you. You might just have a shift in your energy in your body or something. Now, if you're not very happy with self, you could escalate that into a string of problems before you've even got out of your bedroom. Oh my God, say something wrong with me. Say if I get really sick. Say if I die. Say if I have a heart attack. Blah, 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 and that can be escalated into the biggest problem. But if you're very in charge of how you're feeling, going, actually, hold on, I don't feel very well today. Maybe it's something I ate last night. And you start thinking about why you're not feeling so good instead of escalating it into something that actually probably isn't even the case anyways, you know. But the mind, if you, it'll play tricks on you if you allow it. You know, it's very, very powerful, powerful space. And we own it. We are the one in charge of our thoughts.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, you and I are going to have many more conversations. But the thing that's so important about this is exactly the energy that a lot of people are feeling right now. You know, you know this and I know this. You know this by the people that are calling upon you for help. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you because, see, even with that gas leak, you have to be aware, right?
Yeah.
You have to be aware. And you have to be aware to the point where you know that there's gas in the air, right?
Yeah.
I love that you used that example. Because if you're not paying attention, right, you're too busy. You're not even going to smell the gas. Or even if you do smell it, you're going to blow it off. You're going to ignore it because why? You're doing something else. You don't want to face it. You don't want to deal with that problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of this is that we can learn this. But here's the thing, Deborah. We live in this fast-paced, honestly, fast-paced, Can you give me a pill, potion, or lotion? Can you show me the shortcut so that I don't have to type the full message in? I just want to hit a short key. You and I both know. How does that work for us?
Yeah. You know, it's like this, right? If you were to be told you had 4 weeks left to live, right? Say you're fine, you're riddled with headaches and causing yourself all sorts of challenges up here in the mind and stressed out, worrying about money, worrying about your job, worrying about your relationship, worrying about your child, blah, 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 blah. The whole cycle is there. So say if you are stuck in that mind, which millions across the globe are stuck in this mind. They're just so stressed out to the max. They can't cope with themselves, you know? So say if you went to the doctor and you just had to go for a regular checkup, and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, yeah, actually, I'll just do your bloods. Your blood pressure's not looking great, but I'll just check your bloods anyways. All right, you're fine with that? Well, yeah, no problem. So you go get your bloods done, and then you get a call, and the doctor says, can you actually come in and see me, please? And you're like, ugh. Already you're adding up, that's wrong, help, help, help. And then you do go to the doctor and he gives you some bad news. He says, listen, we found something. We need to go and have a scan. So you go have the scan done. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because there's been many occasions where this has happened and I've supported people around this, right? And this is really a classic example. If then she go for the scan and they turn around and say, it's not good, you've got 4 weeks left to live. How's that working out for you then? Would you allow yourself in those 4 weeks to be stuck in the mind that you were in before you were told how much time you've got left? Right. Would you allow yourself to be stressed out, anxiety, worry, fear, doubt, insecurity? There's no way you would. You'll have a panic already. Yeah, I'm going to die. But what would you do with those 4 weeks? What would you do? You would make sure those 4 weeks counted. You would spend it with the things that are important in your life and stuff. You wouldn't be messing around with all these lower emotions. You would make it a priority, wouldn't you? You'd be sad, but you'd be like, I need to spend time with people that really care and love me, and I want to make memories with my children, because that's what happens. But why wait to be told you've 4 weeks left to live? This is our point we always say to people. Why are you waiting to be told you've 4 weeks left to live when literally you have right now? So take charge. Get out of it, you know? And that is why we always say, none of us are getting out of here. We don't have time. And it's the only thing we own in this life is time. And that is fact. We have cars, we have children, we don't even own them. You know, but if we look at the time, what we're doing with it is we're wasting it. We can't get it back, can we not?
No. What a great way to bring this full circle today. Because if you realize that, and you understand happiness by choice is a way you can live your life,
100%.
Then you will be reminded on a regular basis, right, that you are here now.
Yeah.
And you will get the idea and the message that you can decide how you want to be in this earth skin for now. You and I both have first-hand experience with loss like that.
I just wanted to say one of the biggest things for me as well in my transformations was around grief, right?
Yes.
And I remember what my mentor was saying. It took me, after he passed away, I went to grief counseling for about 4 sessions and it just wasn't helping me. I just felt like I was talking about the same thing all the time. Okay, so I just couldn't. I was like, oh, I can't. So when I did come to India and I did go through the cleansing process, this was one of the areas that was clear for me. And literally, and I'm not joking, in 20 minutes, my grief was cleared. I was in a very high space of honoring the love that I had for him. And it wasn't like, oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So what happened in that, I changed my whole, looking at grief and how we deal with grief now, it's very simple. I can pull someone out of grief and very quickly. Based on love, okay? Because love has the power to take this pain away. I know it sounds a bit mad, right? But the reason why I'm trying to think now, why did I even go into this conversation?
Well, the reason you went into it is because you're right about this. First of all, we're debunking the myth that this level of transformation has to take a decade to go through. See, that's a mindset. The second thing is you've gone through it yourself, so you're a living, breathing example of it. And the thing that we want to really leave people with today is this door is open for people. This, you've made the door open for people to come through and experience this level of transformation.
Yeah.
And right now, people are so urgently crying out for help. Deborah, yeah. I want to thank you for today. One last question again. Ask LifeClarity.com. I would just love to know your personal message. I'd love to know what you'd like to leave us with today.
My personal message is, God, I have so many messages in my head. But I would say, be happy. What other option have you got? Come on, let's get a grip. Get a grip on time, you know, because we're wasting it, you know. So my message is, let's not waste any more time on things that are not important to us. Love self.
Yeah. Deborah, thank you so much. AskLifeClarity.com, everybody. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for taking your own personal journey. Thank you for bearing witness to so many people who want to take their own personal journeys. And thank you for supporting people in the level of transformation and change that really heal the heart with love. Thank you so much. And thank you for all of the people that you work with to do this.
Thank you. And thank you so much for your amazing energy. I am so grateful to you. And thank you. I've enjoyed every moment. Very grateful.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Happy Tuesday. Eric Reiner here with you on KKNW. We're approaching noon. Things looking good.